This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Tula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. You got Lopez, you got myself, Reginald Atatula. Byron Matthews hanging out in Figgy's stead. Figgy getting healthy. Getting himself together on this Thursday, so we wish him well. But he's going to miss a tried and true staple, which is when we get this fine gentleman on the phone line. He is a local real estate mogul, former football player, defensive lineman in particular, and always gracious to give us a little bit of his time. His name is ND Kalu. ND, what's popping?
What's going on, fellas? So Figgy Fig got his new house, and now he's too good to show up every day. Is that what y'all are telling me?
Well, you know, I mean, take it for what, for how you will, but I do believe he's probably got a lot of stuff still to do with the house.
He is sick. he has explicitly been told, we've been told explicitly that he is sick.
Yeah, we have.
John
been,
is the one out here believing that
we
he's,
have been
he's
told
skipping.
That. We have been told that.
All right. Tell him be careful because the last thing he wants is a foreclosure. When you miss too many days of work, you start missing their mortgages. They come knocking on your door.
All right. I'll make sure to pass that information along. ND, let's talk about these Texans as they get ready to gear up for the Colts. Actually, I kind of want to talk about this span of games where you have three games in a span of, 11, 12 days really quickly. And particularly, you know, you have two games in five days. Like, what is that process like on the granular level for a player? I know that you obviously can't get out and actually physically do some of the practice type things. For you, what were these kind of tight, condensed portions of the schedule like?
You know, you'll hear different things from different players, and it also matters like where they are in their career, whether they're a starter, role player. But I used to love them, you know, Reggie, because what I didn't like about the NFL, and I know how important it is, was practice. But when you have these games and you have like the Thursday night game, you have a Monday night game, so you have shortened weeks, man, I just used to love the fact now Andy Reid at the time was our coach, and obviously he's going to be a Hall of Fame coach, so he knows how to handle these things. But we didn't put pads on, you know, during those weeks. We didn't have those intense practices. It was more mental. And one thing every player loves is playing the game. So there was never a complaint, you know, from me like, oh, man, we have too many games in such a short time period. But I obviously and definitely understand the wear and tear on the body, especially the running backs, the most violent position, you know, in football, having that quick turnaround. But me personally, I loved it because, again, I practice hard. I understand the importance of practice. But if I'm going to be honest, it wasn't my favorite thing to do. So those games being that close, it just meant less practice.
So with the kind of tight time period, it feels like we've also had this tight time period also match with a time where the offensive line, in particular pass blocking, all those things are very prominent. How easy or how difficult is it to make shifts and changes in what you do if that's something that they're doing in a time period that is that short compared to even the difficulty of a regular week?
No, that's a good point. When you make changes, you need the time not just to learn what the change is, but to actually practice it, get a feel for the timing, you know, to truly understand how it's going to work, to get those full speed reps before the other team comes in so you can see if these changes, you know, to see how comfortable you are, I should say, with the changes. Now, I will say this. I don't like changes when you have a few weeks of bad play because what it does, subconsciously, the players start to question whether or not the coaches know what they're doing. You know, when you have one or two bad games and people might be laughing and saying, hey, have you watched the O-line the entire season? But they had an entire training camp. They had an entire offseason. You have to believe in what you're preaching, what you're coaching. And I don't know if a change is needed as far as play calling and technique as opposed to the way the players are taken to the coaching and understanding what they're supposed to be doing.
So do you think that's what it is? I mean, I think we can all agree whether you think it's just not reaching its potential or it's just bad. Mm-hmm. The offensive line play is a clear topic and hindrance. I mean, what do you think it is that has been holding them back?
That's a great question. Now, again, if I knew the right answer, I would be talking to you, Yahoos. I'd be getting paid millions of dollars.
That's right. But,
you know, doing what D'Amico's doing. But no, all jokes aside, even if I was, I'd still be talking to y'all. I'll say this, John. There were some plays where a guy goes untouched and hits your star quarterback. Like, to me, that's not technique. That's not physical. That's a mental breakdown. Like, anytime somebody comes untouched, you're not saying, like, oh, you know, he's bending at the waist and that's why he got beat on that pass block. Or, you know, his certain techniques just weren't – he didn't punch at the right time. That's why he's getting beat. That's like, no, somebody forgot to get who they were supposed to get on that blitz. Somebody didn't realize when you're counting outside in and you're responsible for the one guy, the two guy, and you count outside in, if there's a blitz, the blitzer, the cornerback blitz, the safety blitz, he becomes one, and now the nine techniques becomes number two. Like, somebody, there was a mental breakdown there. So some of the mistakes that I'm seeing that caused the sacks, that caused the quarterback hits, I saw more issues with what I perceive to be mental breakdowns than just actual technique.
Okay, Andy. So I think what we're going to do is you're going to do for In the Loop what apparently Robert Saleh is doing for the Packers, which is, you know, just kind of help us self-scout in some ways and get some things. So from a defensive mindset perspective, one of the things that has
Hold on, Robert Saleh, he already got another gig?
Yeah, man, yeah. He's helping the Packers. He's helping their offense by kind of like self-scouting them and giving them ways that he would attack them. So they're only going to get stronger.
Oh, I'd love to hear that. He's a football mind. That was a blank show in New York.
Correct.
Man, I'm so glad to hear that. Usually I do listen to y'all, so if y'all talked about it, forgive me. But
it's okay.
But Robert,
you out here buying up Houston. It's cool. I understand how it goes.
But to hear that he's already got another gig, I'm not surprised and I'm happy for him. Okay, so you said do the same role for
yes.
the
Yeah, and I want to start here with this with the offensive line and everything. I love the way that you were breaking down kind of the ways that they set protection outside in, counting in, and those types of things. How much do you think it's hurting them from what you're seeing, the condensed formations and having those wide receivers and tight ends in tight? I know that you want to get everybody involved in the blocking game, but how much – from a defensive line perspective, are you able to tee off because of the kind of confusion and, you know, the various different looks that you get from everybody being in so tight?
I'll say this, with the type of receivers and the type of playmakers they have, and when you factor in Joe Mixon, what he can do out of the backfield as a pass catcher, as a running back, I am surprised that they don't run more spread. I'm surprised that they don't spread it out a little bit more. You know, when you have a guy like Tank Dell, obviously when you have a guy like Diggs, we know Nico Collins is out. But with those quick, twitchy, fast guys that you just want to get them the ball in open space, if I'm a defensive coordinator or now a defensive consultant, when I'm watching the offense, I'm going to slow it. And I'm saying, you know what? When you're in this personnel and you spread it out, and when you motion, I don't want to get too technical, but if you motion Tank Dell here, now I'm going to be forced to have a safety on him, and that's a bad matchup. So those are some of the, if I was a defensive-minded consultant coming in to kind of give my point of view to the offense and the offensive coordinator, I'll be looking at it at ways to figure out, no matter what adjustments I make, you're going to put Tank Dell on a safety, or even better yet, Tank Dell on a linebacker. I'll be trying to show him, no matter what calls I'm making, these are the bad matchups for me, and you have to spread it out. You have to, what we call, explode the personnel. When everybody's bunched in, it's easy to read it off. Like, if you have everyone bunched in and you have a linebacker, I'm trying to think of it in a basic way, a linebacker who's matched up against the two receiver, it's easy to say you're matched up against the two receiver unless it becomes so-and-so. And then that's when the defensive back will take Tank Dell or Diggs, and then the linebacker knows that he has to switch off. Like when we were playing this greatest show on turf, Reggie, you might be too young for that.
I know what's happening here, man. I love Torrey Holt's one of my guys, man. I love that.
Okay, so there was one year when I was with Philly, and this is when we had one of the top-ranked defenses, and they exploded out because I was the, what's called the joker position. It's a stand-up linebacker slash end, but I was in coverage. But I'm supposed to read from sideline to the tackle, one, two, or three. And I had the number three receiver, which is typically a running back or tight end. So, you know, I could match up against that. So they were smart. So they figured out a way to put in the formation where Isaac Bruce ended up being the number three. So I remember I lined up on him, and God bless Brian Dawkins, you know, the best safety to ever play the game. And this is the middle of the game, national TV. So I'm lining up head-to-head with Isaac Bruce, he smiles, and I'm like, oh, man, this dude's about to make me I look behind him, and I look behind myself, and Brian Dawkins taps his helmet. He's all, no, I got him, Kalu. You take the number two, yeah. Who ended up being the number fullback. And I was like, thank you, sweet Jesus. And I just went out there. So my point is, they manipulated the formations where you get bad matchups. So that's what I would be doing and telling the offensive coordinator, here's how you get the best matchups with these explosive receivers that you have.
Give D'Amico a call, man. I mean, come on.
Don't worry. No, don't you worry about it. I'll clip it up and we'll just send it to the people that need to get it. You already did it. We did it.
Hey, let me ask you this, though. I wondered a little bit about what we were going to get about from D'Amico Autry, coming in cold. And he's been in the program and he's been in training camp. And he ended up just getting about 48% of the snaps and really didn't necessarily like play badly, but didn't stand out either.
Right.
So I say that to get your thoughts on that, moving forward. But also, what could we possibly expect from Devin White, the linebacker they just acquired, because he hasn't been in the program?
You know, as exciting as the headline is that they signed Devin White, just what you said, John, I was like, the expectation for me is – he gets in, he gets comfortable with the playbook, and maybe in another 2 or 3 weeks, we see him make an impact. Does that mean he doesn't play for two or three weeks? I doubt that. But I'm not expecting Pro Bowl Devin White, that we saw previous years. And with Autry coming back, I expected him to get 20, 25 plays. Keep in mind, as productive as he was with the Tennessee Titans last year, he's still in his 30s. Mm-hmm. So I do feel like he has to kind of play his way into shape. I don't care how hard you work out. There isn't anything like actually playing football. So I expect this upcoming week we see a little bit more where his name gets called, like Tim Settle. Tim Settle, I thought, had an amazing game, mm-hmm. Playing inside this last week. And even the week after that, that's what I'm expecting to see, the defensive tackle who's capable of getting you double-digit sacks. But as far as Devin White, that's one of those deals. I just feel like, man, that's a cool name. It's a cool signing. But there's a reason why, and I'm not talking trash. I've been there. There's a reason why the Philadelphia Eagles cut him on October 8th.
Yeah.
All right. One more thing with our guy, Andy Kalu, here in the loop. A couple days ago, and I know you're involved with Texans Radio and all Texans All Access and all those things, Nick Caserio, in his meeting with Mark and John, he was asked about the candy, what would be his favorite candy if he even ate it, and Halloween candy. And he let us know that his baby girls, that they got to give up 3/4 of their Halloween candy. And we found that as an indignity, right? Mm-hmm. First and foremost. But second of all, that got us thinking as to, like, what are the things that you did as a kid that you got away with and your parents never knew?
See, because I said that there's no way that's true, that his girls are probably hiding the candy underneath the pillow or something.
So I would like to ask you, is there anything that comes to mind from maybe your childhood that you sneakily got away with that your parents never knew?
Oh, yeah. So, this, having Nigerian parents,
that's
very
right.
Strict, mm-hmm. I'm the only guy on the varsity football team who had like a 9:30 curfew. But at the same time, my parents, they slept hard. So at about 10 o'clock. When they fell asleep, that window would crack open, and I would just sneak out.
Not a baby.
Every single weekend. The first couple weekends, there was this rush. I was nervous. But then it just became like, okay, they're asleep. Let me just go out this window, and my boys would be waiting for me. And we would actually – they would push their car down the street, then start it, which is stupid because I don't think my parents would have heard it. And I'd be out till 2, 3 in the morning, sneak back in, and nothing ever happened.
You never got caught?
For about a good year and a half.
Okay.
One time,
yes.
My senior year, I come to climb back into the window and it's locked. And I was
like,
talk about the worst feeling in the world.
And
then
you
knock on the door and my dad
opens.
Yes. I got the threats of being sent back to Nigeria. So Yeah, and I never snuck out after then again.
They weren't mad. They were just disappointed.
Oh, no, they were mad.
No, they were hot. They were hot as fish grease. They were mad.
Well, we're glad that you made it past that time period because, you know, that was a point where it might have been the end of you. It's quite possible. But we're glad that you made it. You played great football, and you always have a great visit with us. We appreciate you giving us a little bit of time. ND Kalu.
Man, I appreciate everything y'all do. I'll talk to y'all next week.
Yes, sir. Right. Yes, indeed. ND Kalu, as I established, current Nigerian. I was talking to Parker in the hallway. He's like, "Does that mean that he wasn't a Nigerian?"
Yeah,
he's a
Nigerian now.
No, he's absolutely not. And if that story doesn't tell you anything, he's always been a Nigerian. He had to deal with them parents. Although I think that's a cross cultural thing. Having those real strict parents, you know what time it is. Man, I can only imagine how far your heart drops when you get to that window that you know you left open and it's locked. Because there might be like a split second.
Oh, you know who
did
it.
Did I lock? And you're like, oh, no.
No. Dad did that.
Oh,
or mom.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
Real problems. Yeah. All right, let's keep it going here in the loop. And let's talk about what's popping. We'll do that next in the loop on Sports Radio 610.